Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Sarah Maley.
And today is April 20. No, wait. Was it 12? 12, 17.
April
Who
12th.
Wrote that? That almost, the way they wrote that, those slant lines almost create another another number. That's difficult to see. Did you write that?
I did not.
All right, well.
April 12th.
April 12th. Sarah is here with me, Sarah Maley, and she doesn't often do these podcasts, but she needs to do more of them because she's doing the research. She's the one knocking out the numbers and just quietly, you know, pushing through the day. And I said, you know, you got to come on here. People need to get to know you because you're out here doing the research.
Well, thanks for having me. I think the last podcast I did was probably 2 years ago. So.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
We got to get you on more and
I'm
more
back.
And more. Absolutely. Because you got a lot to say. And, you know, one of the things that I want to bring you on here, because I know you take a lot of phone calls too. And, you know, especially during this time around Easter, it's a... There are less people in the office, more people on vacation, and that means you're getting more phone calls. So what are you hearing as far as the phone calls are concerned?
Yeah, so I'm getting questions just on what do we think of the market right now, where do we think the market is going, just really looking for an overview and our stance on you know, just our perspective right now.
You know, that's a question that I've been asked for 30 years, and there are so many advisors out there that think we have some kind of inside track that we know where it's... Tom, what's the market going to do? I don't know how many times I've been asked that. I have no idea what the market's going to do. If you want to know what the market's going to do, tune in to CNBC. They'll tell you every 10 minutes.
I thought you had a crystal ball.
Oh, absolutely. Well, people think we have a crystal ball. But the most important crystal ball that we do have is the New York Stock Exchange Bullish Percent Index. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten away from that because we've gone much more into relative strength for obvious reasons, because the world has now gone to fee base and relative strength has served us well. We do that quite a bit. But the New York Stock Exchange Bullish Percent to me is near and dear to my heart. It's a soulless barometer. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of this is that it's not price weighted. It's buy and sell signals against each other. So being a soulless barometer, and if you look at the chart right now, what do you see?
It's an O's at 62% right now.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's telling us that 62% of the stocks in New York Stock Exchange are on point and figure buy signals, but more importantly, the O's are telling us that we need to take caution right now. It's a blinking yellow light.
The O's are, yeah, you're right. The O's are saying there's a trend now to more sell signals over buy signals. That's what it's telling you. So if that's the case, Earl Blumenthal created 6 degrees of risk with his bullish percent index. And he may have gone overboard a little bit, but I don't think so. When I look at this, you look at a column of X's exceeding a previous column of X's. Earl Blumenthal called that bull confirmed status. Well, that means bull confirmed, you can continue to buy. We also know that at the 70% level, we consider it high. Well, January, it was at 68%. So what's happening at that 70% level?
Everyone is in. Those that want to be in are playing.
So most of the customers that the advisors are dealing with are already 100% invested. Mm-hmm. And that's where the advisor calls the customer and says, Mr. Jones, I got this great stock here. You know, they make French fries. And I think you need to have that in your portfolio. And he says, fine, I'd love to do that, but I'm fully invested. So when you think about supply and demand, what does that mean? If the customers are fully invested, where does the demand come from? How does the market push further up? You got to have more buyers. If everyone is fully invested, there's no buying pressure out there. So you're at a level that it won't take much selling pressure to overtake the buying pressure, and you're in a downtrend. Things in motion tend to
stay in motion
until they're acted upon by an opposite force. So that's exactly what happens here. When you think about supply and demand, basic econ 101, that's it. Things stay in motion until they're acted upon by an opposite force. So when a stock is being controlled by demand, it's causing demand to overstrip supply, which means the price will rise. If there are more buyers than sellers willing to sell, price must rise. If there are more sellers than buyers willing to buy, price must decline. So when you're in a condition like that, where more buyers are overtaking sellers, things are going to happen. They're going to rise. Opposite case is where we stand now. So Earl Blumenthal called a column of X's that exceeds the previous column of X's bull confirmed. Okay, the 70% level, though, I look at that, and it's in essence saying you're a football team, you got possession of the football, but your field position is terrible. At the 70% level, everybody's in that wants to be in. So you have to become more cautious. When it reverses into a column of O's, Earl Blumenthal would say that is bull correction status. Bull correction means bull confirmed would be a green light. Bull correction would be
the flashing yellow light.
Exactly.
The caution.
So what do you do with that?
Flashing
yellow light? When you're driving home and you see a flashing yellow light.
Drive slowly. Look around. Be more observant.
You just look around?
Drive slower.
If you're going through that intersection that's flashing yellow light, you slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Look both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And proceed with caution.
Yes, with a lot of caution.
So what would you do in your portfolio?
I would be... We need to get selective. We need to review, make sure things are, you know, trading in positive trends. They're those 3s, 4s, and 5s. Just continuing to be very selective with what you own and what you're buying.
So you proceed with caution. So you look in your portfolios, make sure there's no holes. I did that yesterday, as a matter of fact. I do it routinely, but I did it again yesterday, and I looked at it, and I found some holes in my portfolio that I needed to put stop-loss orders in. Hopefully I don't get stopped out, but in the event that they do, these are stocks that are going to break the trend line and give sell signals. So I'm not going to second guess it and pray that they go back up. I set stop loss positions in them.
Keep it rules based.
That's right.
And emotionless.
Now, if you're using models, our model pages have charts too. All the models have charts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're using the technology model. That technology model is a chart. You can look at that and treat it just as if it was a stock itself, and if it was breaking down, giving sell signals, you might sell the whole model.
Yeah. Speaking of those technology portfolios, we've seen, you know, technology is leading the sector rankings in Dolly. It's continued to do so. But today I was taking a look at just our sector portfolios, our TA portfolios, and it's interesting to see that on a year-to-date 60 and 90-day performance, the internet sector portfolio is leading, and following that on a 30-day look back, it's going to be the gaming sector portfolio. And right now, technology does have the highest average score on the group scores page when looking at the sector level. So continuing to see that relative strength coming from the technology sector. And another thing that I did notice is looking at the Dorsey Wright domestic sector models, it looks like each of those has maintained its technology exposure at this time.
You know, I find that same thing too. I see all these technology stocks continue to do well. I'm looking for the internet model. Where is that internet model?
So that's going to be a stock model. That's going to be under, if you go to the models page and you click on stock.
Right here. Click stock.
And then on.
So you go to the models page, then click stock, and then you come down here to the eyes. And let's take a look and see how that looks. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. If you have customers that are interested in owning stock, then this is where you want to be. And this is where I would be as if I was back as a producer again. Internet sector is up. Guess what? This year, this sector model is up 36.82%. And most people aren't even looking at these things. You've got these models available to you. If I looked at the holdings, and let's say I was back in production, customer called up and said, Tom, I'm interested in the internet sector. What do you like? Well, I would go directly to the model. I'd say I like Amazon.com. I like Blucora, B-C-O-R. I don't even know what they do, but it's in here as one of the stronger stocks. I like Netflix. Beyond that, I like Astra Networks Incorporated and
Shopify.
What is that?
Shopify?
What is Shopify? What is that?
You know what? I do not know.
You don't know what Shopify is?
I don't know.
Shopping, I think. Well,
something on the internet. Maybe internet shopping.
Yeah, symbol S-H-O-P. It's really kind of interesting there. But the cool part about this is the customer called me up, asked me about the sector. I went right to the sector model I looked at the stocks that were in there and said, you know what? If you want to own this sector, here are the stocks you can own. Here are five stocks I want you to buy right now. So in other sectors, if you looked at technology, you were just talking about that. So let's page down here to the T's, and let's just see what technology in general. I see technical leaders. Do you see the technology here? I think we have a technology sector. No.
Regardless, again, it's, you know, we do see that technology exposure in all those guided models. And you can go online and you onto our site, and you can set alerts. So if there are ever any changes, you know, if technology starts to lose that strength and rotates out of models, then you'll get that alert and, you know, kind of set it and forget it.
Well, that's the beauty about these models is you can click on alert me if you own the model. Anytime there's a change, you get alerted. And I have I've put alerts on every one of them all. So every day I get some kind of thing. I just want to know what's taking place.
And you know, something that is interesting that we wrote about in the Were You Aware today, you can also get these alerts now on your iOS-supported devices using the DWA mobile app.
Okay, what's iOS-supported devices?
It's Apple's... operating system.
Okay, so what you're saying here, if you got an iPhone, you can do it.
Yeah, and actually I just got an Apple Watch and I get the notifications on my watch now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I used to have one of those watches, not Apple, the other kind, Samsung. And number one, you can't see it. As you get older, you're not going to be able to see it. Number two, it's too small, right?
I'm a fan so far.
Huh?
I'm a fan so far.
You are so far?
Yep. And I really love the fact that I can get alerts. I think it's really cool.
That's because you're millennial. Once you get older in your sight, then when you have to be fumbling for your reading glasses to see it, that'll be different. But I'll tell you what, that's interesting, because you can get a phone call on it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I gave a presentation one time, and where was it? Might have been in California, I'm not sure. Big group of people there. And one of our clients, this reminds me of when I had my watch, one of our clients was sitting in the back row. And I think it might have been Craig Weiner, I'm not sure. But I asked him, I said, I want you to call me up on my phone. And I started with Google Glass, because I have Google Glass. So I started with that on, and I went up to the podium, and I began to speak. And all of a sudden, my phone rang on my wrist. And this is many, many years ago.
I remember.
You remember that? My phone rang on my wrist. I answered the phone. And the reason I started that way was to let them know that the robos are coming, that technology is here to stay, and you better embrace it, and you better watch out for it as an advisor, and you better find some way to work with it. Nobody listened, and this was probably easy 6 years ago, and I wanted to lead in about what technology was doing to the advisor and where it was going to go from there. But that was a fun way to do it.
Yeah, that is fun.
And I got my call, but I don't wear my watch anymore. All right, one more thing I want to talk about. Is what? What did you see?
Interest rates.
What's going on there?
Today,
when you ride in your car, and you hear these guys that are trying to get you to get loans for buying houses and whatnot, and they say interest rates are rising. You better come get your loan now. You know. Mm-hmm. But what's happening?
Yeah, today we saw on the chart of the TYX, which is the U.S. Treasury 30-year yield index, broke a triple bottom today.
And that's a 30-year. Mm-hmm. And is the 10-year doing the same thing?
Pulled back yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So what you have here is a situation in which the Fed can control the real short-term rates, but in reality, the rates that you have to deal with, borrowing money and that type of thing, are going down. And that's a clear breakdown of interest rates themselves, suggests that bonds are going to go up. And you probably couldn't find any customer that would believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's why you use the indicators.
Yep.
And here's an opportunity for you to talk to your customers and let them know what it is you do and why you do it. Because when you think about all the fake news out there, and there isn't a person around anymore mm-hmm. believes what they hear mm-hmm. on the TV or the radio.
Alternative facts.
Fake news. What, say again?
Yeah, fake news. We just need to filter out all that noise, and I think those emotionless, rules-based indicators give us that.
And I think that would make the customers feel very, very comfortable that you're not listening to this kind of information, that you have the indicators that you use. Explain what the bullish percent is. That's a great conversation with a customer. These are the things that will get the customer to stick close to you that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yep. Set yourself apart.
Absolutely. So anything else that you have seen that you've been doing here just the last few days or talking to customers?
No, just I think, you know, we reviewed it just, you know, really an overview of where we are, where we stand, you know, again, what we're seeing with the bullish percent of no's versus number one in Dolly. So I think we've covered it.
I'm gonna give you a return. Let's see. I'm going to say stocks, but it's going to be international market. And you know international has been doing well. PIE has been doing well. EEM has been doing well. If I come down here to Jakarta, Indonesia, and if you look at our model in Indonesia, up 81% this year. This year.
Wow.
So when you think about international, up 81%. Absolutely fantastic. Hong Kong model, up 30%. I mean, Switzerland, how benign can you get with Switzerland? Up 13% this year. And you can find all these individual stocks on there. And you know what? Here's a Taiwan model, up 48% this year. So there's a lot happening in the international markets. And one of the things I mentioned in the webcast this Monday is most advisors would be surprised that you can go to your overnight desk and you can actually buy these stocks in country, in currency, for your customer. It's just by going to your own firm's overnight desk, and many of your customers just might like to own the real stocks that are making up the index. Something else interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually ties in right with an email I actually just got. I got an email from a client asking how they could invest in these two Chinese companies. So funny that you say that.
Overnight desk. Call it up. Okay, I guess that's all we got today.
Sounds great.
All right, Sarah, we're going to start bringing you more in here.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome anytime. Talk to you next week.